Welcome to episode four, of Spellbound. I'm your host, Julian Smith. This episode's brought to you by RX Bar, the whole food protein bar with no BS. Get 25% off your first order at rxbar.com/spellbound using the promo code Spellbound. That's rxbar.com/spellbound, promo code Spellbound. What do you say, Andrew? Ready for part two?
Part two.
You know, I don't want to take full credit for this, but I did see this happening again. I did say we would be here again, did I not? I'm joined today by Andrew Rader. We just had to have him back. Today we're talking about something a little more up his alley. Flat Earth. You're an aerospace engineer, a very smart one. You have your PhD from MIT in human spaceflight. You may be going to Mars one day, and you work at a very large space company, which I'm not allowed to say the name of, but I accidentally did in episode one, so if you're curious, you can just go listen to that one. Whoops. Today we're talking about Flat Earth. Thought it'd be good to have Andrew on. Andrew, this is what you do all day, man. You know about all space, outer space. You know about the shape of the Earth.
Yeah, most people know about the shape of the Earth.
I guess you're pretty qualified to talk about this subject because of your job.
I think it's going to be a really short debate because I can't understand how anyone would believe that the Earth is flat. There are certain conspiracy theories that are reasonable. You could believe that.
Give me an example of a couple reasonable ones. What are some reasonable conspiracies?
The problem with most conspiracy theories involving government is that the government's not good at hiding things, really. And if more people have to be involved in it, it would be harder to keep the secret than it would be to actually do the thing in the first place.
You're saying conspiracy theories give the government too much credit?
Well, because they're not the simplest explanation. So okay. Occam's razor goes back to, I think, a monk or something, 1300s. Anyway, so he basically said that the simplest explanation is usually the correct one.
Before we go any further, we need to establish some rules, okay? So I need to just, you know, I'm assuming because you send rockets into space every day, nobody sends rockets into space every day, but that's what you think about all the time. I'm assuming that you don't subscribe to the flat Earth theory, correct? Am I correct in assuming this?
Right, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to, for the sake of the argument, assume the position of the flat earther. I'm gonna fight to the death for the flat earther, Andrew. I'm gonna fight you to the death. Are you
sure?
Ready for this?
Sounds good.
I'm gonna give you a run for your money. Why don't you just go ahead and just start by telling us your problems, your personal problems with flat earth.
If you drop a ball out of a window or drop a coin out of your hand, what happens to it?
It falls to the ground.
Okay, why does it fall to the ground?
Because of gravity.
Right, because gravity pulls every object in the universe together. Every atom in the universe simultaneously exerts a pull on every other atom in the entire universe. So all the mass of the planet's pretty big, wouldn't you agree? It's pretty big compared to...
It seems pretty big from what I can see.
It's big. And because there's a lot of stuff, all that stuff pulls together, and that's what creates a planet, actually. The criteria for forming a planet is to have enough stuff. That's all you need. And if you have more stuff than a planet, you can start off nuclear reactions by all the compression that you get from all that stuff, and that's called a star. But a planet is basically, all it is just enough stuff in the same place that it all pulls together into a ball just based on gravity. So gravity is all pulling towards the center.
So gravity is responsible for the spherical shape of the Earth.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so that brings us to the perfect point in this discussion.
He's Googling this.
Okay, so I've got a laptop okay. up here, and I'm Googling what flat earthers say to this because I'm a flat earther now for the next hour.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, so why doesn't gravity pull Earth into a spherical shape?
Right.
The Earth isn't pulled into a sphere because the force known as gravity exists in a greatly diminished form compared to what is commonly taught. The Earth is constantly accelerating up at a rate of 32 feet per second squared. Squared. You're already laughing at this?
Yeah.
Okay, so why is this plan flawed already?
Basically what they're saying is Earth is a flat, it's like an elevator that's constantly accelerating. Not only constantly moving, but constantly accelerating.
Earth is an elevator. I'm trying to picture this. Earth is an elevator.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's going up into space?
And the flatness...
It's going up into space?
Into space, yeah. Up isn't a thing in space. It's going in a particular direction, and it keeps going in that direction, right? So it's just accelerating. And the floor of the elevator is the flat Earth, is what they're saying, basically. And so it's constantly accelerating. So two things.
Oh, I see. So it's only... Stuff only hits the ground because the surface of the Earth is constantly moving up.
Right, exactly. I mean, you also feel your arm and your head.
So why is that so preposterous? Why is that so preposterous, Andrew? Why is my view so preposterous?
Well, it's not. Actually, we can't tell the difference. Our bodies are unable to distinguish between acceleration and gravity. So from one perspective, it makes sense. So what they're saying is we can't distinguish between gravity and acceleration. And that's true. Humans can't tell the difference between gravity and acceleration. It's actually why you have spinning space stations to generate gravity. Like in 2001, they're walking around in space. It's because they're moving in a circle and it pulls them towards the center constantly, right? So the rotation rate is such that the acceleration pulls them towards the center and it feels like gravity, right? So we have space station design concepts that are based around that. So we can't tell the difference between gravity and acceleration. So it could be actually true that the whole world is a flat surface that's accelerating and we couldn't tell the difference. So from that standpoint, that's possible. The thing is, it's not the simplest explanation. It's why all conspiracies are wrong. I guess it's sort of removed from reality thinking about what's more likely, accelerating platforms or giant balls in space. But it seems like, where does the energy come from to accelerate that giant platform?
What causes the orbit of planets in space?
Oh, so they stay in space because they're moving fast enough such that they never end up hitting the center. So basically, they are constantly accelerating towards the center. And by the time they would reach a point where they would fall, they've already moved to the side. It's because they're moving so fast to the side that they never hit the center. It's like a bullet that is moving so fast that it never ends up falling because it goes around in a circle.
That's an interesting picture.
So it's possible that the Earth is a flat plate. By the way, that's one of my pet peeves when people say the Earth. I think I already did it, but
you've definitely done
should,
that.
Yeah. Or people say the Ukraine, it should just be Ukraine, right?
You're right.
Yeah.
We don't call it the America or the Canada or
exactly.
The Mexico.
Right, right. Who calls it the, right? You know what Ukraine's national anthem is?
No. Why would I know that?
The Ukraine is not dead yet. That is the actual name of Ukraine's national anthem.
That's actually
that's like
the lyric?
That is the name of national anthem.
The Ukraine isn't dead yet? They actually added
Ukraine.
Yet.
Actually, I think they say Ukraine is not dead yet because they don't call it the Ukraine either.
They add yet?
Yeah, yet.
they actually went out of their way to yet. Add a word, a very important distinction.
It changes the whole sentence. Anyway, so we're talking about
we need to
Earth
change
as an
subjects.
Elevator. So what's more likely, a giant ball in space or an accelerating elevator that derives
okay, so
its power
this,
from apparently nowhere?
So at this point, it seems like the only argument is that someone has a good reason to lie about this. There's no argument a flat earther has besides the sources of information you have about space are lying to you. That's the only thing that they can say at this point.
I guess people are lying to you and it's another explanation.
It's tinfoil.
The other thing about that explanation is you would have to accelerate forever. So basically what they're saying is Earth has been accelerating for billions of years.
Right.
And okay, so if you accelerate at 1G, 1G is gravity on Earth. If you accelerate at 1G for a year, you're going to approach like a significant fraction of light speed, the speed of light, right? So if you keep accelerating for like billions of years, you're going to just go incredibly fast. I mean, you could not possibly do that because we know you can't go faster than light.
That's true. I mean, would you not agree that my only argument at this point is that the government is lying to you about space? Isn't that the only argument?
Who's the government in this case?
I'm just saying.
I mean,
just
all
saying,
your teachers are lying.
Just,
everyone is lying.
Well,
to you?
I guess, like, you know, let's see what they say.
Okay.
The entire moon landing, in fact, the whole space program itself was designed to propel a scientific untruth that many governments had been perpetrating for centuries, that the Earth is round. Flat Earth truthers understand that the Earth is flat. And that's why the moon landing couldn't happen and did not happen. Hundreds of people believe the flat Earth theory. Hundreds? That's not very compelling.
Yeah.
Okay. And they believe that the U.S. and Russia discovered the truth when they launched rockets into space in 1961. That's when the Antarctic Treaty was struck, and space was deemed off limits to everyone. NASA began faking everything at that point to maintain the belief that the Earth is round. They're doing this as a secret money funneling scheme. And all those billions that NASA doesn't really use go right back into government programs.
Well, the thing is, NASA is not that well-funded compared to a lot of government agencies.
Yeah, so they're saying, flat earthers are saying that it's a money funneling scheme.
The round Earth is a money funneling scheme?
Yep, the money, the Earth is flat, and right. If anybody else finds out this that the Earth is flat, there's going to be a lot of money that I'm going to lose. Someone's going to lose. Not me as a flat earther, but some...
Yeah, who's going to lose and why?
The person at the top of the flat Earth
the
theory.
The people who operate satellites giving you television because their satellites orbit around your planet because your planet is round? Those people?
Yeah, those people.
The third argument is you look up at the moon. What shape is the moon?
It appears to be round.
Right. Have you ever seen Venus at night, Jupiter, sun?
I've seen little dots. I've seen the sun. Yeah, the but sun? I'm not supposed to look directly right. into it.
But the sun is round.
It appears to be.
Right. Yeah.
So does the Earth.
And if you look through the telescope,
the Earth appears to be round.
Which is something that you can get and probably doesn't have a little image of the planet on the other end, but you're really looking out into space. You look at through a telescope, you see that Jupiter, for example, is round, and Saturn is round, and Venus is round, and Mars is round. So there's all these round worlds.
Well, maybe it's just a plate. Maybe it's flat. Maybe it looks like it's round, but I'm parallel with it. My plate is parallel with that plate, and so we look.
Yeah, the problem with that is they orbit. They spin over time, so you get to see different parts of them.
But maybe don't actually do that. Maybe that's not actually how it works.
See, the problem is what you're doing. You're defending something, which is fine, except that it's not the most likely explanation. So you're having to say, what if, and all these contingencies. So the simplest explanation is that Earth is another round object, just like the moon, just like the sun, like the other planets we can see through telescopes. And we don't have to explain, oh, well, maybe they're plates and work a particular way. This is the same thing when they were thinking about whether Earth is the center of the solar system or the sun is. Well, we kind of think as humans, the Earth is really important, so we should be the center. But the data doesn't support that. If you actually try to look at the orbits of the planets and the times that they come into the sky, then we find that the sun being the center is the explanation that makes the most sense. You can explain, you can try to explain why the ways that the other planets might move such that the Earth could be the center, but you have to invent all these explanations, and they have to do, instead of just an orbit, they have to do orbits within orbits. They're called epicycles, so they just do these little orbits along the orbits, they have to basically jump through gymnastics to explain what actually happens. So it's just not that simple.
Yeah, you actually go out of your way to explain why it makes sense.
Right, yeah.
You know, and here's another thing about flat Earth and other conspiracy theories like this, that just don't add up. Ultimately, it's not fair to the people who originally gave us the information that we were all raised with. The fact that anybody can just become a flat earther and decide that they think the Earth is flat despite all the information we have. Anybody can do that. But you went to school for how long to do what you do today, to send things into space and to interact with it? How long did you go to school to do this?
Until I was 30.
So, but how many years how did many you spend years? In school?
I don't know. I guess you started at 6, so 24.
But how many years did you spend in like a university?
University. About 10.
10 years. You spent 10 years to be qualified to do what you do today, to send things into space. And it takes nothing for a flat earther to just come out and say, I think the Earth is flat and everyone's lying.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. So anyone's able to question anything they want. You're allowed to have stupid ideas.
So you went to school. You went to school for 10 years and learned bogus information, is what I think is a flat earther. You learned information that was fake, that was not real.
Well, I don't think there's probably that many flat earth engineers out there or scientists out there.
That would be interesting to see. I wonder if there are any flat earth scientists or astrophysicists or anything of that nature. I would love to hear from you guys. Please. Please.
Crickets. I'll use crickets chirping.
We got to take a little break to talk about the people who made this episode possible. RX Bar. Special thanks to you guys for supporting Spellbound. I just got to say, it's a rarity in this business when you get to work with products you actually like. RX Bar is a whole food protein bar made with 100% whole ingredients and no BS. No added sugar, artificial colors, artificial flavors, preservatives, or fillers. They're made with a few simple, clean ingredients, each one serving a unique purpose. Egg whites make this bar an exceptional source of protein that's easy for your body to absorb. They're all gluten-free, soy-free, dairy-free. My personal favorite is the chocolate sea salt and the coconut chocolate, but there are 11 flavors, so whether you're into sweet, savory, chocolatey, fruity, there's definitely an RX bar for you. And they actually taste great, which is something you can't say about all protein bars. Not all bars are created equal. Get 25% off your first order at rxbar.com/spellbound using the promo code spellbound. That's rxbar.com/spellbound, promo code spellbound. Okay. Andrew, what were we? Where were we? We were talking about flat Earth, and I feel bad because I know this podcast is supposed to be open-minded, but with something like flat Earth, I feel like it's just...
I feel like no one actually believes this. This is the kind of thing that I have to really try to stretch my mind around the fact that anyone actually believes it, because it's just ludicrous. I mean, it's so obviously ludicrous in so many ways. You can believe like reasonable things that are wrong. I mean, and the whole... The whole basis of science is asking questions, right? But then you have to fit the answers to data. Like you have to observe things. So science is about watching what happens and trying to make rules that explain what happened, right?
Yep.
And so basically we discovered through science that Earth is round because a round Earth fits the observation.
Right.
You know,
we have five senses.
Ships going over the horizon. I mean, even on Earth, you can see it for yourself, the curvature of the Earth.
Yeah, it's almost like people aren't paying attention. You know, they're paying more attention to what they're reading than what their sensory input is. You know, we all have five senses and, you know, use it or lose it.
Yeah, although I'm going to stop you right there. We actually have a lot more than five senses.
Do go on, my friend.
Well, we have balance, inner ear. So you have two organs in your ear.
But that's a sense of hearing.
No. That not the ones that measure sound impulses. But have you ever experienced alcohol before?
Have I ever drank alcohol?
Yeah.
I drank alcohol tonight.
Right, exactly. So
why are you asking me this? You know the answer to these questions.
I was trying to be ironic.
Okay.
But anyway.
I thought you were being polite. I thought you were being a good guest.
No.
You're an asshole.
when you have alcohol, it modifies the density of the fluid in your inner ear, and you have hairs that measure the motion of the fluid, and that tells you how fast you're spinning your head. So alcohol adjusts this, and then you feel dizzy because you're miscalibrated, basically.
Interesting. I did not know this.
There's actually two separate senses of balance. One's rotational and one's linear. One's in a straight line and one's turning, basically. So you can tell where you're turning in the dark, right? Even without any outside input. So even if you're in the dark, there's no wind, and you can still feel yourself, your body moving.
But that has nothing to do with vibrations and my ears perceiving them.
Nothing to do with any vibration. You can be in an isolation chamber and you still know.
Really? A sensory deprivation tank?
A sensory deprivation tank. If that sensory deprivation tank is moving, you'll know it.
So it's not a true sensory deprivation tank.
Well, it's true, because you can't screen the outside acceleration. This is actually related to what we were talking about earlier. It feels like gravity.
Okay, keep going. You lost me a little bit.
So basically, you could be on an accelerating flat Earth and not have any gravity and still feel like it was gravity. So basically, what the flat Earthers were saying is gravity doesn't exist. It's really just acceleration.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
No, it's not the most likely explanation.
It's not the simplest explanation either, as you so eloquently put. It's not a simple explanation. The simpler explanation is that what everyone has perceived for the last, a long-ass time, right? Like, how long ago did we know that the Earth, that the planets were round? What year was it?
I mean, I think that people have always pretty much known that. I think Stone Age hunters, like prehistory.
You think that even as far as like as the Stone Age, people knew that the Earth was round?
Well, I think some people probably didn't know.
It does seem like a natural instinct.
Well, because the moon is round, the sun is round.
Now let me ask you this:
the horizon.
There was an interesting experiment done that was really interesting, and I looked into this, and I'm still confused by it. And I actually meant to bring it up because I wanted you to tell me how this was accomplished, because I figure there's a great answer. There was an experiment done. I can pull up the picture if you'd like, but I can just explain it to you. Somebody calculated, like, based on the exact mileage around the Earth, what the curvature would be like. and how far away you would have to be from the Chicago skyline before the Chicago skyline would start to disappear below the curvature of the Earth. Are you with me?
Yep.
And they calculated this out, and they actually, and the calculation was incorrect. And they actually were able to see the full Chicago skyline. Supposedly, this picture was taken from 60 miles away, and you shouldn't be able to see the skyline.
Isn't very far.
What? Really? 60 miles? Hey, you know, I was homeschooled. You have a PhD from MIT, so I wave the white flag. Yeah, I think this is all just perfect evidence that there's just too many ideas that we have access to today. Like, flat Earth is a great example of an idea that never would have even made it to the public 20 years ago, because you used to have a publisher and an entire team around you to release ideas like this to the masses. And then as a consumer, you'd have to go to the library to even begin to read about it. This is all time consuming, you know, but now we just parse through this information like it's nothing, because it kind of is nothing, you know. But this, it's not entirely bad, but it does affect our perception of words. You know, I believe we're all desensitized towards words today. And that's what this whole podcast is about, because words are powerful. Words can literally change the way you think about things. Words are persuasive. That's why we created language. And anytime you see a word, it was put there by a human with the intent of affecting the way you think about ideas other people came up with. And this is everything from conspiracy theories like flat Earth to scientific theories to religious ideas and dietary ideas and rules. And people are constantly trying to tell us how to eat, how to dress, how to live. What's the best this? What's the best that? And it's all amplified today with social media, because we just have so much connectivity. But, you know, none of this is real until you make it real in your mind. But the minute it becomes real, it becomes your truth. And you're going to live that out to the fullest extent. You're going to project that onto other people and everyone. So the information you trust matters.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing. The information, obviously, you have to get it from credible sources. But it's more about, does the information make sense given everything else you know and given the observations that you have? So, you know, there's a lot of peripheral stuff that tells us why gravity is a real force. It's not just, you know, the fact that objects fall, right? So Einstein's equations, it kind of forms the basis of modern physics. So in order to throw out that aspect of it, you'd have to throw out a whole bunch more stuff that kind of all fits together in a package, right? So information is never in a vacuum. People do believe crazy things because humans are, you know,
we're not pure rational
computers, right?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's a preposterous argument because it really just undermines, and I hate to keep saying this, but it really undermines people who go to school for years like you, who just sacrifice like years of their lives to like study this stuff. And like people like you are the people who actually are qualified to speak on these matters, not like some just random person who thinks the government has a reason to lie to them, and then like they come up with some preposterous reason why they would be lied to. You know, that just doesn't seem, you know, it seems unfair, and it seems just really like it bums me out for people like you who like just work really hard for the information that they have. You know, it's like it's such a crapshoot.
Yeah, but I mean, that sounds like an argument from authority. Like, if someone, you know, the information should make sense to yourself, right? Like, if you should be able to hear the reason why things are the way they are, the reason why the data, like the information we've gathered, actually does fit our explanations, our scientific explanations. You should be able to understand that argument and say, yeah, actually, it's probably more likely. Basically, it comes down to what's the most likely thing. What do you think makes more sense? Does it make more sense that Earth is an elevator accelerating forever by some unknown power source? The thing is, you have to explain so much more. Then you have to explain, how can it accelerate forever? Eventually, like, is there no limit to the speed you can have something go ever? Where does the power come from to do that? It doesn't fit any of our physical explanations for the world.
Yeah, because flat Earth is certainly not compatible with what we know about the universe, what we've been taught about the universe anyways, about how the universe is constantly expanding and there is no center of the universe. Every point in the universe is its own center of the universe. It's not compatible with flat Earth. And so if you're going to throw flat Earth into the table, if you're going to say the Earth is not round, you have to throw out all these other bits and pieces of information about what we know about the universe. It's a lot of stuff you have to throw out.
It's not even compatible with how cars work or airplanes work. Like, if you accelerate with a car, the amount of energy put in is proportional to the square of the velocity, right? So if you're trying to go much faster, it becomes harder and harder to go faster. So you can't have something accelerate forever because it's constantly going to take more and more energy.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
It's compatible with Earth being a ball that pulls everything together towards the center.
That's true. Well, this has been a fascinating conversation. I think we can safely say we have debunked flat Earth.
What an accomplishment.
I can think of a few family members.
I can think of a few
people who I know who might not want to talk to me after this episode.
Does anyone actually believe that? I'd like people to call in and tell you.
I don't know. I don't claim to know.
Oh boy.
But you know, I love what you said because we'll end on this. I love that you said it all comes down to what makes sense. What do you perceive? What does your brain tell you about what you're sensing? And that's what this whole podcast, I want this whole podcast to be about that. Like, don't just take whatever people tell you, you know, just like, what do you think? You know, we're all equipped. This is our world. That's a great logical path to pursue, just trusting your own instincts. You know, flat Earth does not make sense. Debunked. We could have settled this without you and I. People could have come to this conclusion on their own, right?
Probably.
They don't need us. They don't need you. I didn't really add that much to the conversation. I don't know why I'm giving myself credit for helping people. I'm asking you the questions. You're the one giving me the answers.
What's another conspiracy that people believe in that you think, what's a credible conspiracy theory that you hear about a lot?
We should pick another one to talk about next time because I think we're out of time for this episode, but let's hammer a couple out. What other ones should we do next?
Reptilian
shapeshifters is an interesting one. Have you heard about this one?
I mean, I've heard the words put together before.
Reptilian shapeshifter.
But I don't know what the basis these, of the...
We can get into it more in another episode, but basically there's this group of people who believe that the world is full of reptilians. There's a reptilian bloodline, and if you're a part of this reptilian bloodline, you can shapeshift and like move between dimensions and stuff like that. And these people believe that most of the world leaders are reptilian shapeshifters, and that there's a big Illuminati tie to these people.
But is it the simplest explanation?
I guess we'll find out on the next episode. Andrew, thanks so much for coming on. This was a blast. I love talking to you about the flat Earth, and now we can safely put this aside. Flat Earth debunked. Thank you for helping us with this.
Thanks. Yeah. Cheers. Always a pleasure.
Yeah. And we'll see you next time. I want to hear your thoughts on today's episode. Be sure to check out the comments section on YouTube, as that is where most of the conversation is taking place. And if you want to send me something long, you can shoot me an email, hello@spellboundshow.com. Some guests you can look forward to hearing from in the future. Brett Weinstein just confirmed. I'm super excited to have him on here. I cannot wait for that conversation. Peggy Orenstein is also going to be on, which I'm really excited about. She's going to be talking to us about princess culture in America, little girls growing up with fairy tales, and what that means for them as they try to enter adulthood. What a fascinating concept. I believe this is a huge, huge problem in America that needs to be talked about. Also, backed by popular demand, Richard Elliot Friedman is coming back to talk to us more about the Bible. And I can't believe you guys want to talk more about the Bible, honestly, because I was so nervous about the last episode, because it's such a polarizing topic, obviously, but we had atheists joining in the conversation, Christians joining in the conversation, Hindus, Muslims, Jews. I couldn't believe it. Everyone talking with open minds about the stuff that Friedman brought to us. And man, it's just a beautiful thing. And that's what this whole podcast is about. It makes me so happy to see it actually happening. We're doing it. Now we just got to get more of you listeners engaging in the comments and actually sharing what's on your mind. This whole podcast is about that very thing. Not killing each other and just talking about our differences. I'm Julian Smith. This has been Spellbound. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did, and I will see you guys next Monday.